My foot is about to drill a hole in your ass.
I want to be engaged into the guys playing.
Playing space cowboy in some back room.
Finish the game!
No!
Kill him.
You are about to experience.
I can't play these video games.
I want to win the game to die slave.
I can't play these video games.
Games and more entertainment radio.
What is this, 44? Episode 44, I believe.
I think so.
Games and More Entertainment Radio. I'm C4.
I'm Kobar.
And, you know, today is the first day of the E3. This is like it. This is the thing. This is what everybody wants to be at and everybody wants to be plugged into, and we're not. But Ode is. He's actually on his way. He just called. Like, I just hung up the phone with him. He's on his way to go pick up a hotel room right now. He's got tickets to go, whatever, for the booths and all that. He's going to be there for all 3 days, hopefully.
Lucky bastard.
I know. But he's going to have pictures for us, I hope, and we're going to get him back on the show when he comes back. So that should be really cool to hear from, you know, straight from somebody who went.
Yeah.
That's going to be awesome. I can't wait to hear what he has to say. Until then, though, we do have a little bit of exciting news, and we're going to have to hold out for a minute because we do have stuff to get to before the big news that just, like, hasn't been able to wipe the smile. Nothing could wipe the smile off our faces today after hearing this. Let's see. But first, we do have some other things to cover. Let's start out with, well, what I read, let's go with the news. No, let's do the email first. Okay, we'll just jump right into the games today because we actually have a lot of stuff to cover. We got an email from MC Cushion, who wrote a huge, he's got like 5 pages here of reviews for us for some GameCube games that he played. Some really good stuff to hear about here because, you know, I was really curious myself and we never got a chance to play it for whatever reasons, or I heard bad things about it and just didn't want to risk it. And time, you know, that's a consideration for everybody too. Now we know why he's so little time in Final Fantasy. He somehow actually gets out to play other games. I don't see how that is. Other games? But the first one he talks about here is Mario Kart Double Dash. And let's see, he says, I know this game isn't that new anymore, but since I hadn't heard much about it, I thought I would let you know. Besides, I think a lot of people had this on their must-own list when the Cube first came out. In fact, if you remember the forum, it was one of my 5 reasons to buy the Cube. I loved Mario Kart 64, one of the only reasons I still have my N64, and the idea of a 2-man kart team with a driver and gunner sounded very interesting. So did it live up to expectations? Well, yes and no. First of all, as I mentioned, you pick 2 characters to race as. All of the characters have an obvious teammate selected by the computer when you pick your first character. Like, if you pick Mario, it auto-selects Luigi. But you can pick any teammate you want. The only problem is, since the characters come in 1 of 3 categories, light, medium, and heavy, it's all about Wario for me, baby. I love that guy. The only type of kart you can choose will be for the heaviest character. For example, if you pick Bowser, a heavy guy, and Koopa Troopa, the light guy, you can only choose one of the heavy karts, which is fast but with slow acceleration. Also, as far as the two-man team goes, you switch players with the Z button, and both characters can hold on to a weapon. Well, that's kind of cool. The only time you auto-switch is when both characters have weapons and one fires. Then the other character will automatically be the gunner. Since the weight of the driver doesn't matter, it's no big deal in the race. But it sucks that you have no control over it. Maybe the gunner's weapon sucked and you ditched it for another one. Another thing that pissed me off about the gunner character was that I was thinking it would work like this. One guy drives while one guy aims for the racer, maybe using the C-stick to lock onto the opponents. You know, like the Jeeps in Halo, but unfortunately, they fire just like before, forward or behind the cart. It's pretty weak.
So if you're a gunner, all you do is fire.
Yeah, but, and it's like, okay, one guy drives, see, this is what I thought too, one guy drives while one guy would be like the gunner guy, that's totally how I thought, but that's kind of, this is kind of weird, they just fire like, remember before you would just shoot it and out the front of the cart, and here we go, you know, yeah, that's no big deal. Speaking of weapons, the players you pick actually determine which special weapons you can get. The special weapons pop from the random question box. These weapons are like the smaller weapons. For example, Bowser has a giant spiked shell, and Donkey Kong has a cart-sized banana peel, except they pack a bigger punch. When a cart gets hit with one of these, the cart gets totally owned, and the drivers drop their weapons. This is especially... Oh, that's cool. This is especially nice if they drop turbo mushrooms because they give an instant boost when you hit them. You don't pick them up. Also, of the major weapons... of the major weapons have returned... I think he screwed up. It says most of the major weapons have returned except the three shell shields. This sucks because it was my favorite weapon from the N64 game. See, I was all about the three shell red. The three red shell shields? That thing was the bomb. You could just tear it up, and I would just let them all pass me, too. Yeah, go right ahead. Because, there was the heat-seeking ones.
Right.
Let's see. Now about the game. The tracks are pretty cool because they've added more detail to them. It seems like there are more obstacles on the road, but there are also more things to help you out. For example, some levels have turbo strips in the road, and the infamous freeway track now has a sidewalk you can drive on for a while to avoid traffic. Also, to break up the monotony, some smaller tracks have more laps. The graphics are really nice, and the major improvement over the N64 version, which I always thought looked like jagged pictures of sprites moving along. The sound was pretty average, and I don't think I heard any retro tracks in the game. This seemed weird, since they are all over games like Smash Brothers and Mario Party. The controls are as tight as ever. A is gas, B is brake, X or Y shoots the weapon, Z switches players, and the shoulders are used for the power slide. The only problem I think people will have is learning Z is no longer the weapon button. Now, see, you couldn't jump in this either, right? See, you didn't mention anything about it, and that was one of the biggest things for me in the other ones was, I don't know, I was addicted to the bunny hopping in it. For some reason, I would just bounce along for no reason, even. Because you had to, like, when you did the slide, you had to jump first, and it seemed like, remember?
Yeah, you could, like, jump and then do the slide, and you, like, push you forward.
Yeah, you have that, but you don't jump anymore. And I liked it because you jump over a lot of crap. Mm-hmm. You know, and remember the first one, you had the feather? You can jump over, like, whole sections of the track.
Mm-hmm.
They got rid of that real quick, I think. But, I'm sure that was exploited, pretty bad. But it was awesome if you knew where to jump, It was just so cool. Let's see. Overall, it's an extremely solid game that fans of earlier games will no doubt love as well. Using the money score scale, see if this rules, as mentioned a couple of weeks ago, I'd say it's about a $30 to $40 game. I picked it up for $40 and have no complaints other than the Gunner disappointment. It also has a bit of that more of the same feeling. But let's face it, the last couple of games, especially Mario Kart 64, were so damn good, more of the same can't really be seen as an insult. That's very true. This is where Nintendo shines. More of the same is good when they're good.
Yeah.
I can't argue with that at all. But then we see this Wind Waker crap. Now see, this I have a problem with, because it's more of the same, but it sucks, in my opinion. I don't know. Your feelings on that?
Wind Waker, I didn't like Wind Waker. I didn't have as big a problem with the cell shading as you did.
Yeah.
I had a problem with the style of the...
The graphics weren't all that bad on everything. Some parts I thought the fire was really cool.
Really cool. Right? And those pig guys with the jowls.
They looked pretty cool. Yeah. And then I had a blast, and the graphics were fantastic in most of the dungeon crawling.
Mm-hmm.
But everywhere else, I thought it really harmed it. I really didn't like it at all. In Link himself?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. The characters was a big letdown. For me, though.
The difficulty rating was disturbingly low to me.
Yeah. Well...
It was designed for a kid. I'm not a kid. I don't want to play a game that's designed for a kid.
Some of those can be a blast, though. There's plenty of kids' games that are friggin' amazing. A fun game is a fun game, whether it's designed for kids or not. This, I think, was just a bad choice.
Yeah.
But, one, we've covered Wind Waker before, I guess, so I better shut up now. And two, we got some Zelda stuff to talk about later on. All right, let's move on. Cushion also goes on to talk about Metal Gear Solid Twin Snakes. This was Metal Gear Solid, one of the most popular games for the PlayStation, arguably the best game there was for the PlayStation.
Right.
One of the best games I think I've ever played. I loved this friggin' game. It was just remade. They put it on the Cube, and here's what he's got to say about this. Now, I can't give a fair review to this game. In all honesty, this became one of those games that you rent for 5 days, and then life kicks in for 5 days straight, and you only have about 20 minutes to play before you take it back. This was another game I was highly anticipating, mostly because I loved the first one and was excited to see it with updated graphics. I should have just taken Meryl's brown hair as a sign of disappointment. So it was red. I don't know why they even bothered changing it. All it did was piss people off. Myself included. Just leave it well enough alone. It's a remake. Why would they have to mess with the characters we've become to love so much? It's like we cared about them. These were the characters. It's like, would you feel the same if Mario was like pink and green? You wouldn't. It wouldn't be Mario anymore. It'd be like a cheeseball knockoff, Let's see. First of all, let me say the GameCube controller is not designed to play Metal Gear Solid. Oh, and thank you, Blockbuster, for not putting any controller configuration in the rental box, because there sure as hell wasn't any place to view it in the game. So I turned on the game, not knowing what buttons do what, and I start the game. Instead of reviewing my experience with the dock, the first area, let me list everything that I noticed. The area was shrunk significantly. Instead of a rectangle, the area was more like a square. You start in the southwest corner of the dock. The two guards immediately dart down the south and west sides. Don't worry if you tiptoe through the water on the floor, they'll see your footprints anyway. Ooh, that sucks. Where is the next snap button? I could kick the shit out of the guards, but I couldn't kill them. No hiding behind the forklift in the top right-hand corner. It's now half the size and parked right against the wall. That really sucks when they start changing layouts like that. Oh, and no jumping off the dock. The dock now has a rail around it. See, this is major, I think, screwing with the gameplay here, you know? After seeing this stuff and noticing the level was shrunk too, I was ready to take the game back. As far as the game itself goes, the graphics and sound were what you'd expect from a PlayStation 1 to PlayStation 2/GameCube update. Better than before, but average compared to today's games. Kind of like the GameCube Resident Evil remakes. As you can guess, the controls suck. Yeah, I saw that one coming. I'd rate this as a $30 game on a good day. It's too bad this didn't come out better and about 2 or 3 years earlier. It could have been a big hit for the low on hits GameCube. On a side note, the game has made me think about rental games on more than one disc. Twin Snakes is on 2 CDs, and the second one never left the box. This reminded me of when I rented Final Fantasy VII, a 3-disc game, for 3 days. I looked at the other 2 CDs thinking, I should just use these as coasters. I'll never touch them. What do you guys think about multi-disc rentals? Well, I mean, it's a big game. You're going to play it as long as you have it long enough.
Well, it depends on who you are, too. I mean, if you're a big power gamer, you can blow through a 40-hour game in a week. And that's how
less
long
than that, I mean, yeah. God, it could only take 2 days for some of these. I mean, if you have nothing to do, if it's your days off and you're that into it,
yeah.
It's no big deal. You know, I mean, I guess it doesn't, something I never even considered. I just assumed, of course, you know, hit me up with the whole game. I don't care how long it's supposed to be. And if it's that good, you're going to keep it that long anyway. If it sucks, whatever, you know. Let's see. NBA Ballers. When I saw the commercial for this on TV, this is where we need Hooks. He's all about this sports stuff. And I'm not.
Me neither.
So, let's see here. Let's hope Cushion is. When I saw the commercial for this on TV, I knew what to get with my Rent One, Get One Free Blockbuster coupon. It just looked too retarded to pass up. One look at this game makes it obvious why it was made. Midway, the creator of Ballers, saw the arcade basketball market eating up EA's NBA Street, and they knew another NBA Jam remake wasn't going to get that crowd back. When all else fails, cash in on pulp culture. Like all the NBA Jam games... You know what? That was like a perfect sentence. When all else fails, cash in on pulp culture. That is like exactly my feelings on Kill Bill. That's like the sentence that I can sum it up in right there. Like all the NBA Jam games, you can play as one of a selected few players one-on-one in a street-based game of ball. But the real draw for most players will be the rags-to-riches mode. This mode is also a major part of the game. In Rags to Riches, two unnamed television executives are trying to improve the NBA's piss-poor ratings, which is true, with a reality program. They will take a ball player from the hood and turn him into a big-time baller by putting him against the streets in the NBA's best. Didn't get that? Don't worry, the game will show you and tell you those exact same words at least 3 times before you can start playing. In fact, after they show you a crappy CGI cutscene of the executives, a screen comes up with the exact quote and signed like a Shakespeare quote. But instead of saying anonymous or some made-up executive name, it actually says an unnamed television executive. Jesus. I just had like some kind of weird flashback of like some really low-rent Genesis game. I know that this has nothing to do with the game, but it was so retarded and force-fed, I thought it deserved a mention. So first, you create your character. Now, anyone who's played a game like Tony Hawk or SmackDown is ready to make some uber-detailed guy that might look like yourself or someone famous. Nope. You make a generic guy with generic hair and generic clothes. Goofy hair, tats, jewelry, and actual jerseys can be bought once you're a baller. But even though your guy looks generic doesn't mean he has generic skills. When creating your guy, you get points to use in adjusting your player's skill. All 50-some skills. Jesus. Everything from three-point shooting to pissing range is adjustable. Don't worry, an auto-create option for the points so you don't have to spend a year making your guy. See, I'm big on making your guy. You know, I mean, but I like options. I don't want to have some generic guy. Like, I'm all about making a guy. I've spent more time making guys on some games than I've been played the game. A good example of that is Neverwinter Nights. I think I've made, like, five dudes, you know, and then played for, like, just a couple of hours each time I attempt to play that game. And I have so much fun making my guy, thinking of all the cool shit he's going to do. And I'm so let down right away that I just end up scrapping it. And then, you know, a couple months later, I'll pick it up and try it again. And I'm actually due to try that again a little bit here. Now on to the game. First Year Little Noob Takes on Street. I can't even read it. That's too funny. The way he worded it is beautiful. First Year Little Noob Takes on Street Hustler Number One.
Street Hustler Number One.
Oh my god. The first person to 11 points wins. If you win, you move on and get baller bucks or some shit. Lose and I guess they vote you off the show. Oh my god. It's no surprise the controls haven't changed since the last NBA Jam remake. There's only four moves. Shoot, block, pass, steal, turbo, now juice, and a fake-out move. Hack the fool. So what's a pass button doing in a one-on-one game? It says you can pass the crowd and they'll pass it back for some fat trick. Now that just sounds stupid. Oh my god. I need some soda. That was a beautifully constructed paragraph. Oh my god. The game itself is nothing new. It looks and plays just like the last NBA Jam update I played on my Genesis. That's right, Genesis. I think it was called NBA Hangtime back then. The downside is your guy is such a noob you can't count on. For example, I acted a fool so much, the other guy fell on his ass. So I have an open shot 2 inches from the basket with turbo on, miss. And remember, if you steal the ball, you must take the ball out past the three-point line or else the basket will count against you. Call me a basketball idiot, but it would be nice to let me know that even after I've scored 8 straight points for the other guy. Damn. As far as the sound goes, it's all rap songs and a bullshit DJ who even has a freestyle before the game. Oh my god. Pretending he's some thugged out version of the old NBA Jam announcer. And thank you, Midway! Even though the songs are performed by complete nobodies and are nondescript, at least they aren't totally annoying like the ones EA and True Crime use. God, this game sounds horrible. Lastly, let me talk about the unlockables you can buy. Anyone who's seen at least one episode of The Cribs knows that NBA players live in obscene excess. While children starve in the streets, Joe Nobody from the Chicago Losers has a $5 billion mansion with a built-in airport. Now so can you. You can buy everything from kid-and-play hair to lame tattoos to mansions to SUVs to friends. Yes, your money can even buy friends. Also, most look like the game developers with sunglasses on. I doubt you want a 300-pound Asian guy named Kaz cruising in your car, in your Escalade after the big game. And that's another thing. This is a basketball game, not a Barbie game. If I've got the best street ball player ever, I don't give a shit if he's riding the fucking bus to the game. Hell, he can walk to the game for all I care. Overall, this game is simply retarded. As the Olsen Twins games are for little girls, this game is specifically made for wannabe pimps in the Madden collectors crowd that have seen too many music videos. I'm not even going to rate this game except to say if you really want to be a baller, wait until this hits the clearance bin. That way you can save up to install your PS2 and your 93 Escort with the spinning hubcaps. Damn. That was awesome. Okay, the rest of it isn't reviews, but actually when we, you know, had the list of E3 stuff for Nintendo, some of the things Nintendo was going to mention, which, by the way, you know, they had no mention of Zelda on there except the Four Swords, but, you know, we'll get to that in just a second here. There was all that other stuff that we weren't quite sure about, a lot of it, and he actually knows quite a bit about a lot of these. So, let's see, X-Men Legends is supposed to be a multiplayer free-roaming RPG like the latest GameCube Final Fantasy game, the Crystal Chronicles. Mm-hmm. That'll be interesting.
Ribbit. Will you have to use the Game Boys?
Probably not. God, I hope not. Ribbit King was pimped in the latest Nintendo Power. It looks like Hot Shots Golf with cute Animal Crossing characters. All right. Their answer to Mario Golf, I guess. And let's see. Last I heard, Killer 7 was canceled, but Nintendo Power is still promoting it. So who knows? I think Nintendo's holding out hope since it was going to be their next big mature title. I thought I heard it was canceled too, but it wasn't canceled for Nintendo. I thought I heard it was moving to the PlayStation 2.
Oh.
Yeah. But we'll get to that in a bit, though, because I think Nintendo's got some pull all of a sudden. I think Nintendo's, they've stepped back into the limelight. Let's see. Oh, and we wondered about the new Game Boy peripheral. Remember they mentioned it but didn't say anything about what it was?
Mm-hmm.
And I think we probably said something about the iToy. It looks like it will be a video player for the Game Boy Advance, like those black and white handheld Nickelodeon video players for kids. I wonder if they'll find a way to record your own videos or hack the cartridges like the emulator flashcards. Here's the deal with the $20 classic NES games coming to the GBA. A couple of issues ago, Nintendo Power said a Game Boy Advance game was coming to Japan called Famicom Mini. It had 7 games on it, all the games you read except for Pac-Man, and all in one cartridge. I didn't see a price, but it sounded like it was going to be fairly cheap. Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
That's totally reasonable. And what else did we say? Oh, EA said, or we said, EA was making a Catwoman game. Remember that? But we didn't know shit about it? Okay, this is because I don't pay attention to the movie world around me. I'm betting this is based on the Halle Berry. Remember that from that Dr. Dre? Never mind. Halle Berry, movie that's coming out soon. If you want to see how bad the movie's going to be, look at the Catwoman rough cut trailer that was leaked to the internet a couple weeks ago. This movie looks so cheesy. Also, watch out for the new Van Helsing movie. It's been getting awful reviews. That's too bad.
I was
bad.
Worried about it.
Yeah, yeah. That was one that I could totally see just being a piece of crap. Especially because you see it marketed everywhere. Everywhere already. My Slurpee had it on it, you know. You see, you go to any game website, they got, you know, posters or ads about it, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, everywhere you turn, in all the magazines, everywhere. Let's see. Okay, and his closing paragraph. Well, that should about do it. As always, I apologize for the long email, which we've actually called the cushion effect. You should... He writes on the forum and it takes like 4 days to read. It's awesome though. You know, he just does a beautiful job of breaking stuff down, but it's so much. You know what you need to do, Cushion? Is break it up into like 4 separate posts. You know, it's like he does a perfect job on punctuation, spelling, the layout, the way it flows. The problem is that like you get like, you know, however many of us that are on the board that are trying to read it, and you know, we're all so ADD'd out from our Twitch games that we can't read anything longer like 2 paragraphs at a time. But I bet if you were to break it up into multiple posts, you would trick us into reading it all in one sitting. It's so hard. It's awesome, though. And everybody does appreciate it. It's just a hell of a time trying to read it. Lastly, I wanted to say I actually like Daredevil 2. Ha! See, I'm not the only one. Daredevil.
Oh,
also,
I thought it was
not
saying,
2.
Yeah,
also.
Okay.
Yeah.
I thought you were saying, like, numero 2.
No. Daredevil. See, I'm not alone here. Cushion, see. That's it. Next time he's on Final Fantasy, I'm breaking out the white mage and power leveling his ass all day. That's right. You see what happened? I thought the whole Seeing the Dark Sonar stuff was cool. But I also agree with Kobar that Shrek was a good movie. Well enough to watch the kids with while babysitting. I guess. I didn't care for Shrek, but I'm a weirdo like that, and I have some strange taste in movies. You know what? We've got a bunch of games to talk about. One huge one that I know we're just both giddy over here to talk about. And then a little bit about the DS. Should we just blow through this real quick?
It's in your hand, might as well.
All right. I picked up, I'm lying. It got delivered at work today. I didn't pick up the newspaper. But, you know, I get the paper delivered at work because I'm the only person there at 4 o'clock in the morning. And, yeah, I grabbed USA Today for May 11th. And the only thing they had on there about E3, and what caught my eye was it said Nintendo. And I thought, what the hell is this doing in the newspaper? You know, wow, real world is actually somehow affecting me. What happened here? Usually I have to bring my own magazines, entertainment, and stuff like that. Unless there's somebody delivering news. But it was a little story, a little short column about the Nintendo DS. It was from, USA Today, from May 11th. The important stuff in it, though, was, let's see, blah, 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 competition market, blah, blah, blah. Basically, they didn't say anything too new. You know, it's not, they don't want it to compete with the Game Boy Advance, but it says it's going to play Game Boy Advance games. Nintendo has not announced a release date or price, although it's estimated to be about in the $150 range.
Mm.
So that's a good... How much is that over the current Game Boy Advance SP? Like, $50 more?
Yeah.
Let's see. There's 2 3-inch screens and one... Now, this I didn't know. I don't remember if I just forgot or if I just never read this before. It's, one of the screens is a touch-sensitive screen and works with a stylus. You know, like...
Yeah, I don't remember hearing that.
Yeah, me neither. For some reason, I can't remember, but it's possible that I read it and then just spaced it out. Because God knows, we probably even said it and forgot. But that's pretty interesting.
It'd be interesting to see how they integrate that into the game.
Yeah, how the hell are you supposed to be playing a game and then grab a pen and poke at a screen real quick, you know? Or I guess, I mean, if you need precision, you can use your finger, I guess, if it's touch, but they better have some pretty big buttons on there if they're not gonna, if you don't need the stylus for it, you know?
Well, it could be for other things other than games, too. You never know what this thing's gonna hold.
Yeah.
There might be like an organizer cartridge.
Yeah, exactly. I was just gonna say they might have some kind of, you know, I mean, try to work their way heavy into the, you know, game-playing PDA market. That's definitely a huge possibility there. It also has Bluetooth wireless, you know? That's another reason right there. It could go total like PDA style with, you know, a large emphasis on games, is because they've already got that built in, which is going to be nice for multiplayer. You won't have to have cords and stuff like that anymore. That'll be cool.
Or sitting there face to face with your guy making sure the infrared is lined up.
that's not happening. Screw that. Let's see. And yeah, Game Boy Advance cartridges and a new smaller DS, that's dual screen, game cards. So they are going to have like a different sized.
So two slots?
Yeah, I guess so. I wouldn't doubt it's one slot. Well, no, because the new ones are going to be smaller. Yeah, I guess so.
Yeah, it has to be.
Well, I mean, if it's smaller, they might be able to fit into it, into the Game Boy Advance port. But then you'd get people trying to shove into their Game Boy Advance, and that would never happen. I'm sure they're going to have two ports then, huh? Damn. Well, who knows? I guess we're just going to have to wait and see. They even had a neat little picture of it in there. But I don't know if I like the look of it so well. I mean, it only looks to, I mean, it's pretty small. The screens are 3 inches long. It looks like it's got about an inch and a half on each side of like, speaker. You know, like, so it's right. Figure it's about however long. I don't know. It doesn't look like something. It's not elegant and sleek looking like a Game Boy Advance SP, though. That's the one thing about it. It looks too much like an old Tiger handheld LCD game.
Yeah, it does.
Totally does. So I don't know about this thing. I mean, sure, you know, it may not look cool, but I bet it gets the job done, though. Miyamoto had something interesting to say. He said he's not seen the Sony PlayStation Portable yet, and the screen, I believe, is bigger than a DS screen, and I'm sure it will have excellent graphic quality. Then he says the PSP will not be able to display anything that you cannot do on a current system. Huh. Their whole thing is they're trying to do something new. You know, like this is their whole gimmick, having a second screen here. And then, where was the big thing I really wanted to read here? Okay, here they are. The specs, well, not specs, but the rough estimation of the power. The DS has slightly more processing power than Nintendo 64. Okay. So that's one interesting there. And then they go on down here to mention about the PSP, Sony's, you know, PlayStation Portable, is reported to only be slightly less powerful than the PlayStation 2. And it's estimated it's going to be about $250, the PSP. Now, is it my imagination, or is it getting weaker as we go? I could have sworn this thing was supposed to be like 8 PlayStation 2s crammed into the size of a keychain. We'll play any game you want. You know? And now we're down to slightly less powerful than a PlayStation 2. And I wouldn't doubt, come release day, we hear PlayStation 1 stats. You know? Yeah. I would not put it past them. But I don't know, you were looking at some screenshots today of some of the games that were supposedly running on a PSP that looked pretty good.
That one, there was a guy running on a train, and it was a wooden train, and you could actually see the grain and, like, knot holes in the wood.
Huh. Well, at least it sounds like it handles textures pretty well, then. Check this out. Having sold more than 168 million Game Boys worldwide since 1989. Jesus Christ.
I know I've had one.
Shit, I've had, like, 4. I had 2 regular, like, the original Game
Boys. Yeah, those big honking things.
Yeah, but those are the bomb.
Tetris, baby.
Hell yeah. And they had Ninja Turtles on there. There was a lot of games I played on that. And then I had one of the color ones. No. I had one of the colored ones. It was still black and white screen, but it was, like, the little pocket color one.
Right.
And then I had a GBA, and then I got the SP, and I want the red SP now and get rid of my silver one. Damn. I thought that was really cool, though, to see something in the newspaper about games. Like, that didn't seem like something I ever see, ever.
Yeah, especially something like USA Today.
Yeah, this is just too weird. I thought it was kind of cool. Now, all right, screw all that news. This is the shit right here. This is the bomb. Now, and you came across this, like, I don't even know how. We were looking up other stuff for other games.
Total accident.
I had actually an email from Modem about, what did he want me to talk about? That one game? I can't remember.
La Fuselle.
No. The two, we actually have stuff on that one, but it was the other two games that he mentioned.
And one of the ones was one of the ones that we blew off. That we read off the E3 list of Nintendo's, some of Nintendo stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And it was one of the ones that we were like, what the hell is this game? It's supposed to be like this fat role-playing game, and just I don't remember hearing about it. So we just kind of blew it off. The modem knew all about it.
It was some crazy name, wasn't it?
Yeah, yeah. That's why I can't remember. And the other one was Tales of Symphonia. So here I am trying to look up stuff on these two games, and then you're like, oh, hey, check this out. Check it out. And I'm like, what the hell is it? I'm trying to, like, ignore you. Trying to, like, I'm, like, getting work done over here. And it ended up not happening. I have absolutely nothing to say about either of those two games because this absolutely destroys anything else that we could possibly talk about for the rest of the damn week. I swear to God. This is news. So why don't you go ahead and just lay it down?
Well, I'm going to the IGN site, and we decided that they're updating the site while we're surfing this thing because they had just got back from the opening day of E3.
All the conference stuff is held today. Tomorrow they're going to open it up all the exhibits.
At the booths.
Yeah, yeah.
And so while we're surfing IGN and whatnot, they're actually updating. And I go back to the site, and all of a sudden there's this thing on Zelda. And I'm like, whoa, that doesn't look like a screenshot for Wind Waker 2 because it's actually like real graphics. It's not all cell shaded, and Link looks old. I'm like, oh, no way. And so I go
over there. I did glance over at that because that was where you were going, oh, what? And I actually glanced over for just a second, though. And I was like, oh, that's just, you know, an ad.
Yeah.
That's just an advertisement. That's why, at first I was like, whatever, dude. You can get all excited about your little Wind Waker 2 cel-shaded crap all you want.
And so I go in and I start looking at these screenshots, and this is exactly what should have happened after Ocarina of Time. Link is older, the graphics look sweet, it's just amazing. There's not a whole lot going on with what the storyline's going to be, or...
I imagine it involves some Triforce thing and a princess somewhere along the line. That'd be my first guess, though.
Well, I mean...
Let me guess there's Ganon involved.
Yeah, probably. But, I mean, it doesn't say anything about the...
What's
the,
actually happening, yeah.
The engine, or how it's going to play, or... But just the screenshots, just to know that we get to play a game...
That we should have had.
Yeah.
A game that we should have had.
This game looks like we got something a little darker, something a little...
Yeah.
Much better.
It did. And okay, well, we'll speculate on all this in a second. But here's what little bit we did... Oh, I don't know. Wait, I didn't grab any information. It was just all them screenshots. Okay, well, the first thing I noticed, though, well, that we both saw was it's not called Wind Waker 2. It's just called The Legend of Zelda.
Well, there's Wind Waker 2 is still coming out.
Yeah, yeah. This is not it.
Right.
Right. This was just flat out. There was no title for it as of yet, at least. It's just called The Legend of Zelda. Yeah. So, I don't know. But, you know, I don't care what they call it, because I'm so happy. You have to appreciate... Okay, the screenshots are already on the forum. There's a lot of... I put a lot of them up there on our forum, just so in case you didn't make it over to IGN today, like I'm sure most of us don't. I mean, the only time I go there is once a week, just real quick.
Just to check out what they got going on.
Yeah, see if there's anything big, and it paid off for once. So the screenshots are already up there, but, oh my God, go there and get the video... go there and get the... They have a video there. Maybe I'll put it on our place, just because it's hella faster.
Yeah.
Hella faster. It's even smaller, and it's DivX, not fucking QuickTime.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll put it up there. But, Jesus Christ. Okay, now in the video, they show, like, now we don't know anything about the story or whatever, but it looked almost like this has to do, like, almost not a Zelda-ish story, possibly. Because
it doesn't show Ganon at all.
Yeah, and there's, like, tons of beastmen-looking things.
Yeah.
Right? Like a war, though. Like, there's some kind of a war going on. Because remember, they're all rolling over the hills, and you can't really see them because the sun's behind them and shit.
And Link's riding on his horse, knocking people
just
off the horse.
Tearing into people. Oh, it was just incredible to see. I mean, the graphics look top-notch. It looks fast, like fast gameplay. The one thing I did notice, though, that might kind of bother me is, which is not a game breaker by any means, it's just something that annoyed me in Wind Waker, another thing, but was that when you hit with your sword, the game pauses.
Yeah,
that drove me nuts.
It does look like it does it again in this one.
Yeah, it does, but at least it's not all cartoony and bright-colored and gay-looking, you know? It looks a lot better. I mean, oh, my God.
The only puzzle dungeon crawl aspect you see in the entire movie is him pushing one box.
Yeah.
Which is also a little disturbing to me because that's, like, a major part of Zelda.
All that weird adventuring and trying to solve the puzzle of all the labyrinths. I love that. That's one of the coolest things to me, because you can spend an entire day stuck on something there. Yeah. And you're not out killing stuff just mindlessly either. You're like, you're really thinking hard. This is what made Zelda so great for me, was on top of like a feeling that you're just, you got this huge world to explore, even if it's not, I mean, they're not very big, but you know, they feel kind of big, because you know, who knows what you know, if you bomb that wall, if there's another passageway back there.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, who knows? I mean, there might be, you know, you burn a bush, there might be, you know, stairs down there, and the little guy wants you to pay for his door. You know, whatever. You know, and one of the biggest things, though, is that crawling through the dungeons, I mean, this is what makes Zelda, you know, and you're in the dungeon.
Obviously, it'll be in the game.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure. But, I mean, God, that video just got me so excited. You know, this is the kind of stuff that we waited for so long. If anybody's seen, and I'm sure, everybody that listens, I'm sure, has seen the footage from Space World in 2000 where they showed that video of Link fighting Ganon in that sword fight. That's what it looks like, but only better.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, they had...
Because now it's 2003, not 2000.
Yeah, we've got the power of the cube, a lot better than whatever. They were running on that was supposed to be on the like prototype cube hardware, if I remember correctly. But now that we have finalized hardware, we know what we can get. But, dude, in the one shot, did you see in the screenshots, he's crouched down, he's in the forest. Now, the forest scenes?
Oh
my God! Think back, do you remember, this is what it reminded me of, do you remember in 3, in A Link to the Past, where you get the Master Sword,
mm-hmm.
up in the northwest corner,
right?
And you could kind of see that there was a level of trees, like, not a level of trees, but you could see the sun coming through the trees,
right.
And there were those little parts where it was like, no tree was blocking the light. They have that in this, you know, remember, you'd see beams of light coming through the trees in the screenshots? Oh my God, there's one shot where he's crouched down with his shield up, and there's arrows that are on fire, flinging all past him and stuff, and stuck in the trees next to him. Oh my God, it looks so unbelievably cool.
Yeah, this game is, I cannot wait.
This is the game, that's simply it. Just give us the damn game. And then of course, they tease us on the video. What does it say at the very end? Coming soon.
Yeah, no time frame whatsoever.
Nothing. And you know Nintendo's version of soon is like, you know, 2 years plus. You know, it'll be out soon. When it's ready. I don't know.
Especially Miyamoto stuff.
Yeah. But that's because he wants to do it, you know, how he wants to. Hey, that's fun. You know, I mean, like he said before, it's his game, he'll do what he wants. You know, we're just here, you know, to play it and enjoy it. He actually, you know what, he had a funny way of presenting it. I actually, for some of all the things I wrote down, that was all I wrote down.
There wasn't a whole lot of actual information.
It was just more of the pictures. Yeah. So
they just said, "Hey, here you go, something actually worthwhile in the Zelda franchise."
Now, did you say that they were working on it since then? Is that what it said?
You know, it said that no one forgot about the movie from Space World, and apparently neither did Nintendo.
That's right. Okay. Oh, that was IGN's quote then. Okay. I thought they had like actual news or something. I thought they said something about they had been working on it since.
Well, they said they have been working on it for a while and actually have.
Oh.
And this is not them just starting it. Nintendo.
Thank
just
God.
Like Square never releases something that they're just starting.
Yeah. Thank God. Too. Could you imagine? Oh, hey, here's a couple shots of what we got here. Oh, crap. How many years away is this?
They did say that the game is well under development, is what they said.
Nice. They even had... They look like jousting.
Yeah, they run on the horse, knocking people off.
He had guys... They had some of the enemies riding, like, giant, like, boars or something. Mm-hmm. And he was, like, ripping through them, just knocking them off the thing. Oh, my God. It looks so cool. This is... If there ever was a reason to own a GameCube, and there's plenty of reasons to own a GameCube, but if you thought there wasn't one before... As long as they don't fuck us on this and, you know, change their mind at the last minute and give us another Wind Waker, you know, I have to say this might be it.
This looks like it's going to be another Ocarina of Time.
I don't care what's happening in my life, but it's going to have to wait.
Yeah.
It's just going to have to stop.
On the money scale, this is a $100 game.
This is a $100, that's right. That damn straight. Damn, I mean, this is just... You should have seen us. I wish we had, like, pictures of us walking. Because it's like we couldn't stop giggling and smiling and just, like, all happy and stuff. That's a weird feeling for me. It doesn't happen very often. I think I cracked my face, all that smiling I did. I mean, oh my God, this is just too cool for words. I actually did write down what happened at the presentation when Miyamoto came out. He said, he comes out carrying... He goes on the stage with a Master Sword and a shield. He comes out and he talks to all the people that were there. He says, "I am not Link, but I do know him."
Even after 18 years, The Legend of Zelda never stops changing, and this game is no different. We are now taking you to a world where Link has grown up, a world where he will act different and look different. In order to grow, Link must not stand still, and neither will I. Thank you and goodbye. And then he just swung his sword around and left, and I guess that's when they played the video. It's kind of neat, I thought.
Yeah, and so apparently that's all they got.
Yeah, yeah, that was it. So, who knows? I mean, but see, you know what, though? Like, how much of video did we get from the Space World thing? How much video was that? Like, maybe 20 seconds?
Yeah, I don't even think it was 30 seconds.
This thing is only a minute long. This is a minute long. So, I don't know if that's any indication of, you know, either how far along they are or whether or not they're married to the idea of this new style, you know, or whatever. Because, I mean, that 15 seconds before was enough to give us hope for that game. And then we got the bomb dropped on us, you know?
They showed, at the end of the screenshots on IGN, they showed a list
of all the
links.
Yeah.
And, the Wind Waker.
Oh, God, you read that, because I was going to say, did you see what that all was? Because I didn't get a chance to read it.
Wind Waker was like...
I was too busy cleaning up
3 million copies sold. A little over 3 million copies sold. The Ocarina of Time... Well, they didn't say it said 3.76.
It's got to be millions. Yeah,
yeah, that's the only thing I can think of. It's not billions. No.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So, and Ocarina of Time was 7.1.
Damn.
So that they realized that, hey, we went the wrong way with this.
I guess so, huh? I mean, wow. What in the hell did they have to tell Miyamoto to convince him of that, though? After he was so adamant about going cel-shaded and this was the direction, you know, Zelda needs to go in.
Or maybe he just woke up.
That's possible, too. Maybe. I don't know, but whatever the... Who cares? Who cares what happened? This is something to get your panties all ruffled up about. I can't friggin' wait for this damn game.
Oh, yeah.
Oh. Well, now everything from here on out seems kind of, like, drab and boring, because, I mean, I've been dying to talk about that since we found out. Maybe we should have saved it for the end. But no, that'd be no good, because then nobody would be able to make it to the rest of these to get to the good stuff. So, continuing on with what we do have here. Now, Lafusel Tactics. This was supposed to come out already. Because you can order it already online. I've seen it online, but I have yet to see it in a store. So I don't know if that's a reflection of maybe how poor Disgaea sold, and they just didn't want to carry it.
I had never heard of Disgaea until... I bet you and your
Really?
Yeah.
Huh. Well, and you know what? I didn't even know about it coming out or anything until we saw it in the store one day. It just looked so damn cool. And then, you know, checked it out and found out all about it. And then all of a sudden it was like, wow, this game is awesome. And, you know, it's got quite a following. People love it. So thank God they went ahead and made... Now, Disgaea was more like the dark, evil side. There's like, you know, vampires and, you know... Very, like, I want to say anti-religious type stuff, but that's not right. But, you know, the dark and the bad side, I guess, looking at it, right? This one is more based on, like, the good side. Like, the guys that you play are, like you know, church-going people or whatever, and they're no, I guess that's not right either. They're more like clerics in the church, I guess.
Right.
So all of a sudden they go from churchgoers to badass clerics. Just in the changing of the words. Let's see, they said it's going to be more story-driven than Disgaea, because I know Disgaea was a lot of combat. You know, I imagine this is going to have just as much combat, but whatever review, wherever the hell I was reading it, it did mention that it was like there's so much, you know, more story that it feels like there's less combat. Because, you know, there's a lot of stuff going on other than just kicking things' asses.
Right.
It uses the same engine as Disgaea. So that's something to keep in mind. If you weren't a fan of the graphics on Disgaea, which I thought were spectacular, you know.
Yeah, I was looking at the screenshots. I love that style.
Yeah.
I think they should bring it out more in RPGs.
Definitely.
In console RPGs.
Definitely. Most definitely. So, that's a good or a bad thing, you know, depending on your stance on what you think of those kind of graphics anyway. And for those of you who don't know, it's like a strategic...
It's like Final Fantasy Tactics.
It's like tactics, yeah. It's, you know, you've got a playing field where there's bad guys on one side, you know, and a few close up to you that will rape you right at the start.
And it's like a checkerboard.
You know, yeah, yeah. You don't
spots
move.
You move.
Yeah, and it's turn-based.
Right.
You know, you have just so much to do per turn. You walk around. The cool thing is they have, I don't think this was in Disgaea, they do have, like, terrain advantages. Now, they had terrain advantage in Disgaea in a weird, like, well, not weird, but in a different way than what I'm trying to describe. Like, they have a, like, okay, they're marked off as, like, a different color. So if you're standing on green, it did something. Like, you got, like, plus one hit point regeneration per round or whatever. So there was, like, extra power-up shit, you know. There was even invincibility once you could stand on. Wolf used to do that all the time, you know. Charge to the invincibility one and then just fight all the creatures there. And you can't lose, you know, because you're invincible. And getting there's off, you know, obviously hard. It's not like you can just walk there. So I imagine this one has the same as that. Now, the screenshots I saw, I couldn't really tell, but I wasn't really looking for them because I was just blown away at how cool everything else was. But from what this said, there is terrain advantages and disadvantages. So what I'm saying is, like, depending on the direction your character's facing, let's say a guy's behind you, he can do more damage because he's behind you. Or if you're up a hill, like, because you got the higher ground advantage, your strikes will do more damage to the enemy who's on lower ground, which I think makes a whole lot of sense from, you know, a strategic, you know, combat point of view. You know, that needs to be in more games. You know, because terrain does play a big issue. Most games ignore that.
Yeah.
You know, in this game, I don't know how much of a big deal it is versus over Disgaea style, but I think it's cool because it adds a lot more to the strategy aspect anyway. The plot on this, I don't know if it sounded, you know, I don't think it sounded very, you know, like, revolutionary or anything. It's like, as if you hadn't heard this before. There's this huge war between light versus dark that's been going on for 10,000 years. No one side has ever been on top for long. And suddenly the dark side gets much stronger, and this is where your characters come into play. To stop, you know, the surge and the evil. Apparently, you know, as far as the story goes, Disgaea had a lot of funny things in it. You know, like a lot of humor that you really had to kind of be in touch with things also to know. Right. They're going to keep a lot of that. And there's multiple endings determined by your performance in some of the different missions. There's like specific goals that you can do, you know, certain things you can do. And I imagine you can win or lose some scenarios, and the game isn't going to end, but it will change the outcome ultimately, which is pretty cool too. So I believe, I can't remember, but Wolf was telling me something about that in this game where he thought he was going to win this fight, and because he had to. But he ended up losing, and he still progressed in the game. You know, so, which is kind of cool, though, because then you don't get that, oh, Jesus Christ, I gotta do this map over again. And yeah. Some of those maps, I mean, you're on for all day. Some of those maps were hard, you know, or multiple hours at the very least, you know. This is not something you sit down and pick up for just 5 minutes. This is something you gotta put some time into, because it's difficult.
Mm-hmm.
It's cool as hell, though. An interesting other thing about the plot was there's constant twists and turns. You know, I'm sure they're trying to, you know, keep it interesting and with multiple peaks and stuff in the plot. And the overall story, points, moral, they're going to have a definite, like, focus on the price of betrayal. So, you know, whatever the hell this has to do with the story, that's going to, they're going to teach you a lesson. and just like this game, it had, like, team attacks. Like, you had multiple dudes that could attack one creature at the same time, and you get, like, a combo kind of thing.
Chain.
Yeah, you know, yeah, exactly just like that. You know, you get, like, a special move, some kind of ultimate crazy thing for having two guys, whatever.
Like in Chrono Trigger.
I don't know.
You attack moves together, and...
I guess. I've never played it, I don't
know. You've never played Chrono Trigger?
I know, I even own it, I think. I'm pretty sure I own it. I think I have it here.
Sit down and play.
There's a lot of games I need to sit down and play.
No, sit down and play Chrono Trigger.
There's so many I need to, though. I can't be told I got to play this one.
Wait,
I need...
Everyone send C4 an email.
I get email about it. I get email. I even get made fun of. How did you miss that? Well, it just didn't happen. Wait, what was that on?
Super Nintendo.
I think I have that here.
Oh, such an awesome
Was
game.
That the one that they put on the... No, I better not say anything because I'm probably wrong. I might have that here. If not, I'm sure I have it. If I don't have it, I know I have it. You know what I mean?
Mm.
Like, it's here. I just don't know what format. But it's here. I guess I theoretically could play it. There's a lot of stuff I need to play, but I just can't get around to it. With all this fat shit coming out, you got other games to play. There's something I want to say about the combo. Okay, yeah, all those different attacks. They had that in this game, but they added something else for this one, too. They've got, there's support and simultaneous attacks. And I guess the only real difference is that they've got, now from what I can see, this was confusing because I'm not clear on how Disgaea worked in the first place. You've got, like, a main attack where you have two guys that just rip into a guy, but it's, like, sectioned out. Like, the first guy gets to go, then the second guy goes. The first one, I remember seeing Wolf do some crazy stuff, and it was like the Final Fantasy VII syndrome, where it was like an 8-minute animation of watching a fat move. And I remember seeing that a lot in Disgaea. This is more like the two guys go, but it's like at different times, and it's still a fat move, though. Mm-hmm. So it's more of the chain idea rather than one, I guess, fat ultimate move, but it's still, you did something special. It's like a special move.
Right.
And then, let's see. Oh, no, no. Okay, yeah, then there's one. Okay, and they do it at the same time. Okay, so I guess there's both. That's where I was screwing up then. And there's both. There's one after the other. Oh, I see. They're calling it support. There's the support where they go one after another, and it still does something cool. And then there's at the same time. Ah. And under the right situations with the correct player positioning, you can even use both kinds of attacks at once. Well, that'll be pretty neat. So it sounds like a lot of stuff to keep your interest in this. You know what I mean? If you like anything tactical at all, this is the game to check out as of right now, anyway. I mean, if you haven't already gotten your hands on Disgaea or played Tactics or Tactics Advance, this is the game that you're looking for. Let's see. Another thing they added for this was there's a purification thing you can do. Remember, we're all about the good side now, right? All the happy and the smiling and all that. So they have a
purification. In Disgaea, you were the bad guys?
Hell if I... It seemed like you were, because, you know, I really don't know. I didn't play it.
Oh.
Another one that I need to play. I own it. I have the damn game. I just, never gotten around to it. I didn't watch Wolf play all that much. I was too involved in whatever the hell I was playing at the time. Let's see. Yeah, this purified thing. You can clean out these things called dark portals and, like, I guess purify them. I guess they're all over the maps. And when you do this purification thing, which I guess passes your turn, so you can't move and attack other things, but you can, like, purify the land or whatever, these dark portal things, and it loses some hit points, and it does different things to change the way the battle goes. It makes, you know, let's see, not only makes your current damage more advantageous in your favor. So it looks like, I mean, it looks like it ends up helping you out by weakening the evil. Okay, so your guys, it looks like it's stronger. And it says it also affects something called the Dark Energy Index, which sounds to me like a random spawn, because the higher this Dark Energy Index, the higher chance of, like, a really burly enemy will just randomly appear on the field. So this will reduce the chance of that happening. So this is something you have to do from time to time, no matter how burly your army is, because if you let this thing get out of hand, you're going to have the damn Stay Puft Marshmallow Man coming down on your ass. Right? Something burly. I'm going to have to go look up some Ghostbusters quotes for the beginning of the show, for the intro. Rybo had, what did he say? He was trying to, every now and again, he fires off one randomly. From some random movie, he's got this quote. Yesterday was a Ghostbusters one. It took me like 5 minutes to figure it out, and I had to get like three clues because I forgot. His quote was, "Next time somebody asks if you're a god, you say yes." Do you remember that? From Ghostbusters? It took me forever. Yeah. I was sitting here thinking, couldn't remember.
But I wouldn't have guessed it on my own.
Well, he told me it was an old movie with Bill Murray in it, and that was the only clues I got, and I can't believe I didn't remember it, but I got it. That's, I get a cookie in 10 points. let's see, also, you can like purify enemies, and that basically gives them a chance of joining your army. So that's kind of cool. I don't know if they, now I wonder if they turn into cool, happy versions, though. Like, because if you purified a whole bunch of evil dudes, you'd have like this dark army walking around.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I wonder if they turn into, like, happy little, like, you know, evil setup, you know, some bats or something, turn into, like, a white bat, you know, with happy smiles and shit like that, you know. That'd be kind of cool, though. That'd be kind of cool, I think, you know. Change the graphics and maybe even change their powers, even. Oh, well. They added some new things to the item stuff, too. You can take a whole bunch of different lower-level items and, like, meld them together. Like, synth them, I guess, into, like, a one powerful item. If you take a bunch of, like, first-level crap and make it into something burlier, you can also level up your individual items to make them burlier, too, which is pretty cool. Like, I got really into that in a type of game like Secret of Mana, where it's all about having the baddest version of the weapon, you know? Like, something like that's really cool to me. So, I don't know. That's all I can really find on this. I couldn't even find the damn game, and if it was there, I probably would have picked it up. Because I know that both of these are so cool. You know, I have this game here, and I'm dying to play it, but, you know, as you know, there's things that are sucking up all my time right now. But, you know, I like to have a library of games that are actually good rather than just stuff that I thought should be good sitting nearby, so when I have the time, I can actually sit down and find out how really shitty they are, how really good they are. But we shall see. Now, Modem also pointed out Phantom Brave, which is considered like this game too, like the next game in the series, I guess. Which everything that I saw up until Modem sent me this email said it was not coming to America, and he sent me something from GameForms.com that said it is. So I mean, if this is your style of game, you've got some good stuff to look for, you know.
Yeah.
Definitely, and more stuff's coming up. This Phantom Break. Remember the one that you were looking at the screens? You said, "Is that Lancusel?" And I said, "No, it's something else." And I was kind of like off in Spaceland. That was, and the graphics was even better. Yeah. That was this one, this Phantom Break one.
That didn't look like a tactics game, though.
It didn't, though. It really didn't. But it was based on the whole damn thing. So that was I thought awesome. It looked cooler. Which is why, yeah, but it looked cooler because the graphics weren't so checkerboardy square. You know what I mean? Like, it more looked like you just kind of wander around, which is a good thing, I think, you know. But maybe, you know, who knows? Maybe they had the grid turned off and we just didn't see it. I don't know.
Who knows?
Hopefully we will know in the future. We'll find out something more later on. Let's see. Forgotten Realms game coming out. This is big news for me, you know, being a Dungeons & Dragons fan that I am.
Yeah, this looks interesting.
Unfortunately, though, it sounds like, well, okay, at least they're taking a different step because it's still based on combat, you know, rather than like RPG and big story. So that was kind of a letdown because I love, you know, RPGs set in D&D, you know, with that rule set and all that stuff I'm comfortable with, right? Now, this is more of an action game, but they took like, okay, if you've ever played Brute Force, you've got three dudes in your party, you know, you have like the stealthy guy, the burly guy, and then, you know, some kind of other support type character, right?
I think there's four in Brute Force.
Oh, possibly. I don't remember. Probably. But in this one, you get three. You've got a fighter, a sorcerer, and some kind of a rogue. Okay? It sounds like the same play style as Brute Force, though. Lots of action, switching between the characters. You can set their AI to do whatever mode you want. You know, protect me, protect the other guy, advance and attack, you know, whatever. You can do all that. But it's cool to me for, you know, the fantasy stuff, like, you know, as opposed to laser guns and flying cars.
Right.
You know, we've got swords and axes and bows and elves and fairies and all that garbage. So it sounds pretty cool to me. You've got a nice, well-rounded party to work through. And the best part, this is the selling point, if anything, right here for me, on top of all these other things I think sound amazingly cool. I think it's kind of neat. You'll have a party you can control, as opposed to Baldur's Gate, where you only control your one guy. You know, Dark Alliance.
Right.
As opposed to, you know, all this other crap, whatever I was going to say. here's the thing. And you know, being set in Forgotten Realms itself, that right there alone sells me on it. But this is the coolest part. Salvatore wrote the story. This is the guy who does the line of Drizzt books. He does, I mean, he's got like 15 books. All those books on that top shelf, except for Masters of Doom, all written by him. Oh, and the Neil Stevenson one.
Right.
And then the hack in the Xbox one. All those, though, are written by him.
Oh.
And that's like half of them. The rest of them, I hate to say it, I got rid of them. But the bigger ones on the left are like the compilations of the original paperback ones.
Right.
So, but that's every single one. So, and he's amazing. If you follow the D&D world, you know, if you follow the whole thing, you know who Salvatore is. R.A. Salvatore. He just incredible author. Just amazing. He is just like, he's it, you know, he writes just incredible stories. He's used in a lot of these projects, you know. He was even really involved in Icewind Dale? Wow, crap, it was either Icewind Dale or Baldur's Gate. The characters from that series of books showed up in Baldur's Gate 2.
Oh.
You know, like they were actually there, and it's really cool for someone like me who's been reading the damn series for however many years.
Right.
And then to see them in a video game all these years later, and it's like, wow, I can interact with them and stuff, you know, and it's like, wow, this is just awesome. And Drizzt, like, basically his main character was in, I don't know if he was in Baldur's Gate Dark Alliance 2, because I don't have that, but Baldur's Gate Dark Alliance, he was in, you could play him, he was one of the secret characters, if you beat it and did some certain crap, you could actually play as him. He's a Dark Elf Ranger, the fucking man. And, they actually show up in this, too. At some point, there's going to be people from Barun, from the Forgotten Realms world, that show up in this Forgotten Realms game, too, including Drizzt. He's going to be in there, too. They didn't mention anybody else who's going to be in there. I couldn't find it. I was looking around for Hills. Who knows? It might be part of his party members, you know, from the same series. And I hope, though, they take it further, you know, and spread, you know, other people. Because there's other people in the world than just, you know, them six guys, you know, their party or whatever. I think it'd be really cool to have more of the world for those of us who do know, you know, some of the other things. See some of the Harpers or something, and Artemis. So, that would be really cool. Tribes Vengeance. Vengeance. Everybody loves Tribes. I haven't met a soul yet that's played Tribes and told me they hated that game. I've met people that...
I have either.
Yeah, everybody says, well, it's alright, it's a good game. Or, this is the best game I've ever played. But I never hear, this game sucks ass. Never. So, Tribes Vengeance, we have that to look forward to here real soon. This one actually comes with a full-blown single-player game. Which is interesting, because like Tribes 1, I don't think had any single-player. I mean, it was just, you hop online and you just, you know, go at it with a bunch of other people. Tribes 2, I think, had some kind of, again, I didn't care, some kind of, like, training thing, you know. Right. Whoop-de-do. These games are all about the team-based capture the flag, and mainly.
With any real multiplayer game, any single-player training is not going to be make it good.
Yeah.
Compared to the guys that play all day.
Yeah, there's no comparison at all.
You just got to learn by doing.
And that is the best way. Get your ass kicked a few million times, and you'll figure it out. I mean, it sucks at first, but you'll figure it out. And I can't believe I can't find it when I'm looking for it. But I could swear this is based on the Unreal Engine, the current Unreal build.
Yeah, I think I recall hearing.
I do too, but I couldn't find it when I went looking for it today, of course. So, but whatever, it still looks amazing. But I was positive. I could have sworn it was based on the current build of the Unreal Engine, but. I couldn't find it, but I know it is. Because I kept hearing it, I thought. So whatever. But they've got, you know, some of the old favorites, like the spin fuser weapon. It's that thing that shoots the blue disc that everybody knows and loves because it's just the bomb. But they changed it up a little bit where it actually, like, slingshots back to you now, which is kind of interesting. I don't know how much that's going to affect gameplay, other than the fact that you can hit somebody on the return, I imagine.
Yeah, you, like, hit somebody and strafe as fast as you can and hit somebody else.
How cool would that be, right? But I don't know, but see, it might not... Well, I wonder if it blows up then, because the other ones blow up. But this one said it shoots out and slings back to you. So, they said it was like a modification of the spin fuser. They've got a change on the rocket launcher, too, where now it shoots, because it's such a powerful weapon, they did such a... I guess they're trying to balance the weapons a lot more than they had previously, where, I mean, the heat-seeking missiles would just mess you up. I imagine they'll have something like that in this, but they said the rocket launcher in this, you know, it's so powerful that shooting almost 3 rockets in a closed area is just overkill. I mean, you're just going to destroy everybody. So what they did was they used... You've got 3 rockets that shoot, and it's a wide spread.
Right.
So you can, you know, sneak in between them, you know, if you're quick enough and not get blown up. So that's pretty cool, because that makes it not so powerful anymore. Now, in a close combat situation, I think you're still going to get blown to little giblets. But, you know, that's your own fault.
Used properly, the wider spread could be advantageous to shooting, too.
That's what you need, like 9 dudes on the hill outside their base just spamming rockets at their base. That would mess them up so bad. All that destruction going on while you send one guy in to go grab their flag. They're still going to have a bunch of vehicles also, which they're trying to balance just a little bit more, because some of them quite unbalanced before. There was a lot of jousting going on and stuff where it was just a, you know, clearly who was going to win a lot of the time. And I don't know. They said they're going to try to fix up a lot of that. They're going to simplify the grenades, which I like, because it was such a pain for me to decide what grenade I wanted to take out there. Because you get all these different options, and you only use one anyway, it seemed like, because, well, the smoke doesn't work, they still shoot me, you know, and all this crap doesn't work. So whatever it is, they changed it to one grenade type. So, you know, I think that's pretty cool for
simplicity. Probably one that explodes.
Probably one that explodes, yes. Does a little bit of damage. And the coolest part, I think this is just dope, a grappling hook. It works more like, well, I would describe it as Spider-Man's web. Than...
It sounds more like a bungee cord.
Yeah. Totally. How cool is that? Because, now, one of the big things in Tribes was moving around. Because it was all about the levels are gigantic, so you want to take a vehicle to the other base. Or you have a jetpack, right? And you could ski. And your guy would, like, get on the top of some mountain and go skiing down it. And then, like, build up just insane speed, and he would, like, hit, like, a ramp, or, you know, the other side of a mountain, but it's like a ramp, and you would go shooting up in the air, then you would pop your jetpack, and you could float across the biggest world. I mean, it just seemed like you were flowing across this huge-ass level in, you know, 10 seconds, just because, you know, you knew the line. You knew how to get there, you know, so it was really cool. But in this, they added this slingshot webby thing. I'm not quite sure how to describe it any better than that.
you like stick onto shit and fling yourself.
Yeah.
I guess that's the best way to put it, which I think is cool.
Well, and the thing was saying something about you can fling yourself, grab the flag, and keep on going.
Yeah, and like bounce. Yeah, yeah, and pop out the other side. I think that is cool. That's going to add a whole new element to this game. Oh, and they said they sped it up, too, so you walk a little bit faster or something?
Something.
Yeah, because it did seem like when you were trying to walk across town, you know, or across your little base, holy crap, it could take you 10 minutes in heavy armor. You know, then you put strap on your light armor, and you can get all the way across the map in, like, 30 seconds. You know, it did seem a little slow for some things. Oh, and they are keeping all that, the heavy armor, the light armor, the medium armor. That's all staying in the game. They're keeping the packs.
It's kind of cool that slowed it, you get... movement decrease with
that's because
armor,
you can
though.
Carry mortars, boom, and just blow the crap out of
anything. I like it. That
yeah,
the wearing heavy armor, yeah, you can get hit more, but
yeah, those are price. Most of the time the defender guys, you know, they're sitting at the base anyway. They're wearing, you know, because you got mega weapons and you got way better defense. Or my favorite thing, the assault team. Screw taking a bunch of guys in light armor over there. They're all gonna get blown to shit anyway. Take like four dudes in heavy armor over there and one guy wearing light armor. That was my favorite thing in Tribes right there. Because now you got four dudes in their base. Juggernauts. Walking around just ka-thunk, ka-thunk, spamming these mortars all around their base. And you just, ah! Body parts go flying by the wall. You had no idea there was somebody there, you know. It's beautiful. It is a sight to behold. And they have like different packs. Like a repair kit pack, you know, extra ammo pack, an energy pack so you can fly further, you know, all kinds of different crap. Or power your thing. They had invisibility packs, motion sensor detector pack things or whatever. I mean, you really customize your guy, which I think is really cool. And it's just, I mean, it's a fascinating game. It's some of the most fun multiplayer I've ever had. So I'm really, really looking forward to this Tribes Vengeance coming out here. And I hope they don't bone up the release like they did on... Tribes 2. They really blew that up.
Mm-hmm.
I believe there's one more thing. I thought I skipped it. Oh, the StarCraft Ghost video.
Yeah.
Did you read anything about it or just watch videos?
No, I just watched a few videos before we started recording.
They had, what, five videos?
Five videos. Most of it was just about her going invisible and sneaking around. They had one where she called in the...
tanks.
The siege tanks.
Yeah.
And,
I have this urge to play, like, some kind of Zelda-StarCraft hybrid game right now. I don't know what to play, because I'm so excited by everything we've seen already. And E3 doesn't actually start until tomorrow.
Yeah.
So it's only going to get better. We're only going to hear bigger things. I don't know if anything can top the Nintendo Zelda bomb, though. I don't know.
We might get more information about it, though.
That would be great. But, I mean, the bomb has been dropped. You know what I mean? Like, that was huge. So it would be pretty impressive to see something bigger than that. Game set and match Nintendo. Good job. I think that was really slick, but I didn't want to get off StarCraft just yet. I was just thinking about it. I got Zelda fever again. But yeah, over at IGN they have five videos. The graphics, I noticed, look fantastic.
They do. Very crisp.
Very
clean.
Yeah, I was really impressed. Even the sound was good. They didn't have music in them, but the sound was clear, and you could make out, like, stuff that would help you in the game. You could hear people,
yeah.
You know, and the guys talking, you know, it was kind of a disappointment, kind of, but it was kind of cool that they had voices from StarCraft in there. Like, they straight ripped from StarCraft,
right.
You know.
Oh, they sounded like they were clear.
They sounded fine, but what I mean is, like, they could have changed it.
Yeah, like, the siege tanks was the same guy.
It was, yeah. I mean, it wasn't even the same guy. It was the same sound clip, exactly. It would have been great if it was the same guy saying something different. I'm sure they'll change it up, though. I mean, there's no way they're going to have all the same damn sounds in there. It was just kind of neat because it was familiar, I guess. You know?
The ghost herself said different stuff.
Did she?
I think so.
Well, you know, in StarCraft, they didn't sound like a chick, though.
No, it was a guy.
And it was like a half-robot voice, wasn't it? Like kind of like all like the smoky, scary, you know, what do you need, you know?
Oh, yeah, he sounded like he was, like, breathing through a respirator.
Like Darth Vader.
Yeah.
Yeah. Totally. So, yeah, but this, now you're playing some hot chick, though, so they couldn't make her sound all like she smoked, like, 8 packs of cigarette today. They couldn't do that, you know?
Something. What do you need?
Yeah, that would be no good.
That wouldn't fly. They gotta keep her, you know, like, they gotta keep the sex appeal up, because that's all that sells any damn games, it seems like, anymore anyway. Look at Lineage, and there was something else. Oh, God, good God, what was that? Blood Rain 2.
Oh, yeah.
Jesus.
I wasn't a very huge fan of the first one. It seemed like the controls were okay, but the way the chick moved was very clunky.
Yeah, you know what? The controls weren't that bad. Because I had it for a while, and I was really kind of enjoying it. But then I can't, you know, maybe it was more of a camera problem then.
But it, like, felt, I mean, the controls worked, but it felt like she was just, like,
kind
of on strings or something. It was weird.
Kind of creepy. Yeah, that, I don't know. But, you know what, those videos they showed, yeah, the tank support thing, lots of the invisibility stuff, because that's a big part of it, is this stuff. What they didn't see was her hanging upside down doing the snipe shot, which I really wanted to see. Because that was going to be, I think, one of the coolest things to do.
Colin's support took a long time.
Yeah, it did.
She was sitting there, and it took like 3 triggers had to come down and line up. And
that was just...
I mean, it took like 10 seconds to make the target happen.
Damn, that's effort. And that was one of the tank one. I'd hate to see the nuke one. If there is.
If it's even in there.
It better damn well be, I swear to God. What else did they show? They showed the Psy Vision. I don't know what to call it.
Yeah, I think they just called it Vision, or no, Sight something.
Whatever. I'm calling it Psy Vision. But it was pretty cool.
Yeah, it had like a infrared.
Yeah.
And you could see an orange triangle where their vision was.
Think your radar on Metal Gear Solid.
Yeah, only like 3D, and you have to look at it.
Yeah, in fact, it was cool. That was really cool. I don't know, it seemed like it helped a lot. There was areas where you were walking through, like, smoky shit, and they couldn't see you.
You couldn't see them unless you turned on this vision, and then you
Yeah. You know, they walked right past you, even. I mean, like, when they weren't, you know, when they very well should have, you know, because you were invisible and hiding or whatever, that was cool. That's cool. I really like that when you're sitting right there and they don't know kind of feeling, you know, like, oh, shit, I could get caught, you know, if he turns, I'm screwed. That's a good feeling in the game. And you know what? Some of the sounds and stuff that they had in the game... in the videos, really made me feel that I was an operative, like an undercover or like inside operative of like this military force during a war. That was the key thing, was that like there's shit going on while I'm in here creeping around. It really gave me that feeling that like I wasn't just in here for whatever the hell reason, one man against the world, you know. It felt like I was here to perform a task to aid in the fucking war that was going on right now, and I could kind of interact with that war, like, because, you know, it was going on while I was in creeping around.
I don't remember seeing any Protoss, but we did see a bit of Zerg.
Yeah, and they still puff out the ground and all of, you know, holy crap. Oh, dude, the gunfire was fat.
Yeah.
Oh, that was awesome. That was
a Zergling.
That she killed popping out of the ground. The gun. Remember we were talking about that before? She only had a sniper rifle and a pistol. That was definitely some kind of an assault rifle. Yeah, definitely. So that is, and it was badass too, man. Good lighting effects on it. The sound was awesome.
Yeah, the muzzle flash was real.
It gave me that feeling that I had when I saw, like, what was that game? Was it Half-Life's guns, or maybe it was just Counter-Strike's guns? Like that real feel to them.
Mm.
Like it did a really good job. I thought that was pretty damn cool. So all fans of the upcoming Ghost game here should go check those videos out at the very least and see if they've got anything else to read on there. Oh, you can hide bodies too. You were crawling, you know, dragging bodies out of the way. So hopefully they'll be pretty smart. You know, like the AI will.
Oh yeah, now you get stuff just for killing a guy, and then she like searched too, and she was like actually reaching in pockets and stuff, and there was a search meter.
I only saw the meter, but I couldn't see her hands moving.
Yeah, she was going like this.
That's
feeling the body.
Yeah. That's a way better system than you find popping up on the damn screen. That's cool. I didn't see that.
So that's probably part of the reason for why you would want to drag a body.
Save for searching because it takes some time.
Yeah, because it takes time.
That's dope. Oh man, see all these good games coming out. I better get tired of something real quick. I gotta play some of this new stuff. Knights of the Old Republic 2. I don't know what to say about it. I didn't read anything about it. I just wanted to mention it.
I read the article in that magazine. There wasn't a whole lot to say. However, it's coming out in 2005. BioWare is not doing it. A company called Oblivion or something like
that. Oh, shit. It must be time to get a bit of work. My alarm just kicked on.
Oblivion or something like that. Basically, they're all the main people from Black Isle created this new company. So it's Black Isle is making the game.
That's
so
cool.
You don't have to worry about BioWare not doing it. A couple things they're adding is new prestige classes. When you get higher up, you could be like a Jedi Master or a Sith Lord or stuff like that. 5 years in the future from the original, the graphics were the same.
Yeah, I wanted to make sure you mentioned that. They sound like the exact same, the way you described it.
They look the pictures I saw, the engine's the same.
Tisk, tisk, tisk.
I think it looks like it might be pretty good, though.
Well, I'm sure it will be. I mean, the first one was a huge hit. I mean, just huge. Again, one of those games I probably should have played, but, you know, hey, shit happens. Doing what I can. Not a big fan of the Star Wars either, so whatever. But I know that the first one was huge. From everything I heard about it, it just sounded just incredible. And Hunter swore up and down it was the best game he's ever played. You know?
I know a lot of people who don't like Star Wars and don't
still
like RPGs.
Like it, that I heard, yeah.
And still like
yeah,
it.
Yeah, that's what I heard too, so. I would probably have to give it the benefit of the doubt, but I just don't really have an interest in playing it anyway. But still, sounds pretty cool. Get to see the second one here. So, I mean, as we get more details, I'm sure we're going to talk about it more and more. And there wasn't a whole lot there.
No.
I want to move on, just because we're out of time. And we've got two more things that, unless you saw any other movies.
For what?
Any other movies.
Oh, no, no.
Okay,
really.
Then we'll get to the movies after Unreal Tournament 2004.
This is an awesome game.
This is the this deserves the golden $50 bill, right? Editor's choice or whatever, right?
And it's only $40.
And it's only $40. That's
you
right.
Get a $50 game for $40.
That's right. DVD, DVD or CD version?
If you can get the DVD version, definitely do. Gotta support the DVDs.
Yeah, a lot of extra crap on the second DVD, too.
A lot. If you're a modder, there's hours and hours and hours of tutorial. They teach you how to program in their script.
That's cool. Rather than, see, now the way it worked before was you dig around, some guy figured it out, basically, you know, and they had, like, all these tutorials on the internet.
Right, this is a video of...
That's cool.
Of one of the programmers actually teaching you how to do it.
Whoa.
Or a video of
like level design and whatnot.
One of the level designers.
Cool. Have you ever actually tried to sit down and design a level in Unreal? I tried before.
Not in
right?
Unreal. I've tried in other things that are similar.
I'm yeah. I'm sure they're mostly the same. I can't remember which one I was just using. I do know. It was 2003. Unreal Tournament 2003. And my God, I must have spent 5 hours making a box, you know. it wasn't that complicated, but I mean, you know, I had shit in there too, and then I had other boxes connected to it, but it took a long time, and there's a lot of weird stuff that goes on, but you know what? It's not as hard as you would think it should be.
Well, once you know all the tools.
Well, not even knowing at all, I was still able to put together something that would have been fun to go deathmatching through. Mm-hmm. In, you know, just a matter of hours and not knowing a damn thing about it. You know, even so those tutorials on the internet are pretty good, believe it or not.
I want to touch on Onslaught. This is one of the...
Oh, yeah.
This is an awesome mode. Basically, you're two teams. You're on one side, other people are on another. You have a power core, they have a power core, and there's these nodes in between. You can only attack a node or a power core if it's connecting to one of yours.
Uh-huh.
Okay, so...
Well, that answered our shooting the one at the base question, then.
Right.
Okay.
It has to... A node of theirs...
My question. Again.
...has to be connected to a node of yours in order for it to be vulnerable.
I wasn't sure what I could do, and I always thought, well, I'll just go to the furthest one close to their base and cut them off.
Yeah.
I guess that ain't happening.
No, and on the map, there'll be little, like, padlocks. And that means you can't attack it. And once you die, you can respawn at any place, your power core, or any node you have that's locked.
You cannot
spawn into a place where you're fighting for.
Whoa. Okay.
And there's all kinds of...
That explains why the map is so big.
Yeah.
And I kept popping up back at the base going, Jesus Christ, I gotta walk all the way back out there to get killed in one shot again?
No, you can respawn at any place that you have locked.
Yeah.
You get all kinds of different vehicles. Instead of having to roam around the map constantly to get weapons like you would in Deathmatch, there's these poles that you just run through and you grab all kinds of different weapons.
The armor locker thing, or weapon locker, whatever it said, yeah.
And they're all over the map. There's a few other types of modes that seem really interesting. Like
wait, did you? I don't know if I spaced out the point of it.
Of what? Oh, to destroy the
other. Oh, I don't know if you said it or if I just didn't hear it.
No,
or what.
I didn't.
Okay, yeah,
the other
yeah.
Person's core.
You can't attack the core if they've got some of the power station ones.
Right.
Up, right?
Your only your node. You have to have a node connecting to their.
Okay. So you can go any path to their power core thing.
Right.
Ah, then you can attack their
base. As long as you have a node connected to their power core.
Okay, got it. That's pretty cool. That's pretty damn cool. And you can't hurt the power core otherwise at all.
No.
And it doesn't regenerate.
No. And if you run out of time, you go into overtime, but both power cores start dropping automatically.
Oh,
like they have
shit.
Poison or something.
Wow.
So,
that's pretty cool.
If no one does any, if everybody just stands there, whoever was winning is gonna win.
Yeah, yeah.
But you still have, the other team still has an even better chance of getting you down quick.
Yeah, yeah.
Because you're automatically lowered.
That is really cool. Unreal is doing something amazing with these games. They're making actual, like, the only way I can describe it is like sporting events.
Yeah.
Out of, you know, this virtual world they've created here, which is really fucking cool.
There's one like basketball where you pick up a ball with your gun and you have to shoot it at a target. And
whoa.
There's one that's called Mutant or something, and the guy who's on top is camouflaged, has all the weapons and like,
oh, like
999
like Predator
weapons.
Yeah.
Ammo, and
everybody
has attacking that guy.
That's
everybody
the
ball. Else even has you on the radar if you're the mutant.
Oh, really?
You get a little radar and you can. And the bottom person is called the bottom feeder. He can attack other people too.
Yeah, yeah. That's cool that they added that. I played that for something else too, like paintball. We used to play that.
Yeah,
it was like.
I played that a little bit. It seemed like a lot of fun to me.
Oh, I bet. I bet that's just incredible. That's the kind of shit I like right there, being the one man. I love that. Screw this team-based effort stuff.
And you get all the weapons and all kinds of ammo and camouflage.
Yeah.
You have double damage, I think.
No shit.
Oh, yeah, you're just awesome.
That is...
Everybody's got an app after
yeah,
you.
Yeah, yeah,
so.
Exactly. That's why it's so fun, though.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Dude, fuck this. I should have bought that shit today when I was there for 2 hours.
Oh, I can't believe it.
It's a lot of fun.
Damn it. And they're closed now. I can't believe it's so late. All right, the last thing I had to mention was movies. And you didn't see anything this week? What?
No, I didn't.
What just happened? You didn't know there was a CD-ROM there or what?
No, Unreal was supposed to be
gone.
I don't know where it is.
It's probably in your home box.
No, I checked today. I was going to play it earlier.
It's got to be in one of those two. What the hell else would it be?
It's going to be somewhere. But
that's scary, though. Anyway, what was that? Oh, you didn't see anything? Is that what you said?
No.
Okay, I watched Interstate 60 and Gothica. Now, Gothica is kind of old, and I think we talked about it before anyway, but it's pretty damn scary and pretty fat. It was a long time ago, I think we talked about it. But Interstate 60, I really wanted to mention, because damn, this movie was good. This was, and I really wish I would have recorded our conversation earlier, because I've already been through this. It's like, this guy who's like, he's young, right? Like, I can't remember if he just graduated or if it was just like a milestone birthday of his or whatever. Anyway, his whole thing is his father is like, he's a lawyer and wants him to follow in his footsteps, right? So he wants him to become a lawyer. And it basically starts out and his father gives him a present, which is like this, like a red Beamer or something, right? Now, the whole point is like, red is like his dad's favorite color and blue is like, say, his favorite color. And the father is doing this more for him than for his son, right? And he pays for him to go to school. And this is all, like, right at the beginning of the movie, so I'm not blowing anything here. It becomes apparent that he kind of is forced into this. That he doesn't have a choice. But he really didn't want to do it. Like, he knew that he didn't want to, but he was just kind of holding out for his father's sake and trying to make his decision and think about it. Basically, it sounded a lot like he didn't know how to say he wasn't going to do this with his life, but he was getting cornered into doing it, so all of a sudden, his life wasn't his own anymore, really. You know, he was having to do this for his father. And what happened there was he started to, like, see things, I guess is the best way I can describe it. After being really upset about the events, you know, that he just played out with his father, he something happened. Like, he got hit in the head with a bucket and woke up in the hospital or something. And
was found himself talking to some guy, and the guy was explaining to him how you do have a choice, and that things aren't always what they seem. You just got to look around and find the choice, and all this stuff, right? So the movie does have like a point, you know. It does, I mean, but it tells a good tale getting to this point that you do, you know, have a choice. And what happens is he ends up hearing about a legend about this guy who can grant wishes. And it, I remember the movie, the way they brought it up was something about, like, the United States doesn't have any good, like, mythical stuff like that, like, you know.
Leprechauns or...
Yeah, and dragons, exactly like that. We don't have something like that. And the whole thing that came up was that there was this guy, there is a guy that grants wishes, and that people have happened to run into him. Jesus Christ. People happen to run into him on Highway 60 or Interstate 60, whatever it is. And so he goes, somehow he winds up going to look for this because he keeps seeing these, like, billboards that keep saying stuff like, there is a decision. You can make a choice. You know, things are going to be, or things can change, right? And he's tripping because he's seeing it, but nobody else is. So he decides that he's got to go check this out or whatever and try to, like, find himself and, you know, drive around and think about all this crap or whatever and see if he can't, you know, find the answer. And it starts out as him chasing this girl, though, because she's on all these billboards. But it turns out that he's looking for, obviously, something else, you know. Like, he's looking for a choice, a change. He's looking for the ability to have the strength to make his own decisions and say no. It's, you know, stuff like that. I mean, it was just... It had a good point, but, like, the tale that they told on their way to the end of this was just fascinating. It was just... it reminded me of Big Fish. The whole time I sat and watched this, it was just off-the-wall crazy shit that just blew your mind. It was just like, oh, my God, this is going a little too far. But it didn't go too far, because I didn't like Big Fish at all. Right? I hated that movie. Yet I was constantly reminded of it during this movie, just maybe it was the way it was laid out, because it was just so far-fetched. But I thought it did an excellent job, and all the little stories were believable enough, or at least kooky enough to be at least funny and entertaining. I don't know. The Big Fish ones just weren't to me. But it's just, I mean, the movie's just basically his adventure on this road, trying to, and maybe hanging out with, or, you know, like, trying to find out what to do and hang out with this magical guy that can grant wishes and whatnot. And it's got a neat twist at the end. I'll tell you, it blows your mind when you're watching it. You're just like, whoa, that's kind of cool, you know, and... I don't know. I must say it was a damn good movie.
I'm looking forward to watching it.
Yeah, I think you really enjoy it, I think. But this was a damn good movie. I have to recommend this to everybody to check it out. It's just, you know, the kind of thing you can sit down and watch with almost anybody. You know, your parents will enjoy it. You know, your brothers and sisters, I'm sure, will enjoy it. Whatever. It was just a damn good movie. Definitely got to check that out. That's all we've got for this week.
I think we should probably cut it.
I think so, too. Ode is that he'll be at E3 over the next couple of days, so hopefully we'll record right after that, get the scoop from him, see what he had to say about it. Hopefully he's going to get a bunch of pictures for us. Hopefully they're aimed towards the booth babes and not any other stupid crap. We'll see how that goes. I guess that's it.
All right.
Peace out.
Later.